If you have your Bibles open, we'll be in 1 John chapter 2 that was read this morning. We're preaching through 1 John if you're visiting with us on Sunday morning, and I pray you've come with a heart to hear what God has to say. I pray you'll follow and you'll listen well with a heart of faith. You'll take in what's being said. This morning's lesson I titled Holding to the Truth, and you'll see that he's come to a vital part in his letter. One thing about it, truth has always been attacked, and truth is always going to be attacked. That's just the way it is. There are people that have a genuine love for the truth, and we need to always be a people to have a genuine love for the truth. And to find out if you love truth or not, you need to let God settle everything. You need to let God's Word, you know, He's the source. He's the one. Because there's so much at stake. We are not just freewheelers and dealers to believe what we want to believe or whatever you've been taught in your past and still think you're going to make it to God. You can't do that. You have to have a genuine love for the truth. Because of these two elements. Look back with me in chapter 1. Look back at verse 2 with me, please. He says, "And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us." John, the life, the eternal life that was with God, the Father. We saw what life is, what the life of God is, what eternal life is, right before our eyes. And we're testifying and proclaiming to you what eternal life is. You better hold to truth or you don't get to share in the life of God. That's the first thing that you could lose. The second thing is found in verse 3. "What we have seen and heard and we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." What we heard, what we've seen, that's what we're proclaiming. Because John writes, he says, we have fellowship with God the Father, we have fellowship with Jesus. And we're writing and we're proclaiming what we've heard and seen, so that you can have fellowship also. If you go away from the teachings of what John and the rest of those apostles witnessed and wrote, you are going to forfeit fellowship with God. And those two things are at stake. Now, believe it or not, within the church, there are people that they don't strive for the truth of the truth of God's Word. They don't care. It's always been that way, and it'll always be that way. And even back here in the first century, it wasn't that way. They didn't care for truth. Truth didn't matter. What better? Knowing eternal life is at stake and knowing fellowship with God is at stake. It better matter. Well, what's happening back here is that someone in the church, or there are people within the church that have begun teaching that Jesus did not come in the flesh. Can you imagine that? They didn't deny Jesus. They deny Jesus is coming in the flesh, and if He doesn't come in the flesh, He's not the Messiah. That's the conclusion you're going to have to come to. So you've got some problems. And so here you've got within the church, you've got two different sets of teaching going on at the same time. And, you know, it's no different than today. There's people with different ideas and different thoughts. And, you know, how many times have we heard people talk about how, you know, Jesus is forgiving and He loves everybody. And yet people walk over in darkness. 1 John 1:6, He says that we have fellowship with Him. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Yet Jesus loves everybody and Jesus forgives everybody and you can go over here and do whatever you want. You're lying and there's no truth in that. You don't have fellowship with God. So there's nothing changed much. It's still the same. And so John here in 1 John chapter 2 beginning in verse 18, he begins to address something head on. Look at it. 1 John 2:18, children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. You know, you look at that on the surface and you see it is the last hour. That's got to be the end of the world. No. John uses that phrase often, talking about the immediate hour, the last hour. It's common to him to use that. When you see the phrase last hour, we're talking about a dramatic change. Something is leading up to some events, and there is about to be a dramatic change at the moment. And that's what this is going to be. Let me illustrate it with this. Hold your place here. Come back to the Gospel of John. John chapter 4. I'll show you how he uses this hour in another way. And it's stating it another way, but it's the same premise. John chapter 4. Jesus is traveling through Samaria. He meets a Samaritan woman at the well. He begins discussing with her about having living water. And he's offering himself to her. Well, she doesn't know what he's offering. She wants this living water. And so it leads to this discussion. Look down at verse 20. Coming from the Samaritan's view, not the Jewish view, our fathers, this is what she's saying, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Well, the temple was in Jerusalem. And that's what God had called people to. Well, the Samaritans, they weren't the people of God. They were half Jews. And she's saying, well, here in Samaria, we're told this mountain, this well is at a mountain that they can see. That's where we're told to go. You're saying here. Verse 21. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. The hour is coming. Verse 22. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. 23. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. An hour is coming, and that hour is now. There is something that has brought a change about where worship would be. It's not going to be located in Jerusalem or some other mountain. The true worshipers that God is going to be seeking for are the worshipers of spirit and truth. That's what God's looking for. There's the climatic change in everything. And Jesus is saying, it's here. Because he's bringing it into existence. The hour is there. Well, knowing that, come back over to 1 John real quick. Look at verse 18. He says, children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. It's here. It is the last hour. And what brought about the last hour here in verse 18? You heard the Antichrist is coming? Well, they're here. There's the change. It now has happened at the writing of John. You've heard it's coming. Now the Antichrist are bringing it in. The last hour has arrived. And there's going to be major changes. Continue on, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were really not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out, so that it would be shown that they are not of us. They went out. Who? The Antichrists. People who were saying that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, they started in the church. And for some reason, some shape, they've switched positions. And John says, and he uses five times the pronoun they. They left us. They went out from us. Five times he uses the pronoun us. And John is making a great comparison. Why in the world, if the apostles have fellowship with God, if the apostles they heard and they saw what eternal life and the life of God looks like, why in the world would you ever want to leave their teaching and leave them? But he said they did. They weren't really of us. No, if they had been of us, they would have never left us. And so John is drawing a great contrast between the they and the us. And you and I need to see that. John is basically unmasking what these false teachers, these antichrists are doing. And you know, today when you start talking things in absolute, there are absolute truth. There is an absolute standard. People don't like that. There are people in the church that don't like that, that think you can embrace anything and anybody within, and they can still remain in fellowship with God. And John's saying that's not true. There's no truth in that. That's lying. And so John said, they went out from us because it was going to be shown they were not a part of us. And John had pinned this down for you and I some 2,000 years in the future that we can compare and that we can see. Look at verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. Isn't it interesting now? He comes back to the you pronoun. Who are the you? They're the ones that remain with the teaching of the apostles. I'm not addressing the they. They've already made their paths. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Now, a lot of times when we read a verse like that, when you read that term anointing, what comes to your mind immediately? Anointing. Well, it's got to do something with God and the Holy Spirit. You know, we had jumped to the conclusion. Well, this anointing is from the Holy One. Now, to save our time, the Holy Spirit is never called the Holy One in Scripture. Never. This is anointing from the Holy One. I mean, Mark 1:24, there's a demon that speaks out to Jesus. And he says, I know who you are, the Holy One. He addressed Jesus as the Holy One. In John chapter 6 and verse 69, the apostles, or Jesus had said some things, and it offended the people, and people were leaving Jesus and his teachings. And he turns to those apostles and he said, you want to go too? And Peter said, we have nowhere else to go. You hold the teachings of truth and life, the Holy One of God. Peter calls Jesus the Holy One of God. You go to places like Acts chapter 2 in verse 27 that Luke is pinning down. And in that verse, Luke is quoting Psalm 19. He's quoting David, or Psalm 16, excuse me. He's quoting David. And David says God would not allow the Holy One, Jesus, to undergo decay. So when we see the Holy One, when you read that, We're talking of Jesus. And John points, but you, verse 20, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. What is that? What is the anointing? What do they know? Verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. What is the anointing that they got from the Holy One? It was the truth. That's the anointing. And he says here, you know the truth. There is no lie of the truth. And because there's no lie of it, you know it. They got it from Jesus. And they're still holding to it. So the anointing that they get is the truth. And it came from Jesus. And these people were being honest and they were holding to it. And we, the church, need to do the same thing. We have the anointing also of the truth, and we know it, and we can't deviate from that in any way. Verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Anyone that denies the Father and the Son, they deny what the Father says about the Son, and they deny what the Son says about Himself. That's an Antichrist. Someone is going along saying not only Jesus didn't come in the flesh, but He's not the Messiah. He's not the Christ either. And John points quickly saying, that's the Antichrist. That's them right there. Anybody that denies the Father, what the Father said about the Son. You remember back when Jesus was baptized, back in Matthew 4? And if you don't, you need to go back and refresh your memory. But the heavens opened up, and a dove descended, Spirit of God, and a voice spoke, "This is my Son, with whom I'm well pleased." You remember James and John and Peter? Matthew 17, we're on the Mount of Transfiguration. Eyewitnesses, John was one of them. And as they saw Jesus transfigured and Elijah and Moses show up, then this voice came out. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him." They heard it. They saw it. And so John writes, let me tell you, anybody that denies Jesus is the Messiah, anybody that even denies Jesus is coming in the flesh, that is the Antichrist, because they're speaking what God did not speak. God claimed Him as the Son, and God claimed Him as the Messiah. And so you can deny the Father and the Son, and that's what the Antichrist do. And you look in our day and time, and look how many people are now turning that really Jesus isn't the Son of God. He was a prophet, He was a good man, but they're disassociating Him from God as a Savior. Same principle. They're the Antichrist. Well, keep going. Let him tell us. Verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. You deny the Son, guess what? You deny the Father. To deny Jesus is a Christ, did not come in the flesh, that's the liar. And notice he says the one who confesses the Son confesses. Big word, ES on the end of that. That's not a one-time salvation confession. At ES tells you it's a continuation of your life, that you confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. You continue to confess Him in your life. And the ones, he said, whoever confesses the Son and keeps confessing the Son, they have the Father. Now you got to remember, and for you and I, and I'm trying not to make this thing a history thing, But you got to remember, coming out of the church, you got all these people who started with the right teaching and the truth, and now they've left, and John's having to pin down saying, they're not of us, they left us. And they're not confessing. They're not continually confessing Jesus is the Son. They're confessing other things. And that's the spirit of the Antichrist. They're here. They're bringing changes in our day and time. And so John wants the ones that are sticking with the apostles and what they taught, he's trying to let them know. They don't have God. They may talk about God. They may preach about God. They may even preach about Jesus. But they don't have the Father. And you better not pay attention to them. Well, verse 24. He says, as for you, let that abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. What you heard from the beginning when you came to Christ, you were taught truth. You let that abide. You stay with it. Because if you do, you will continue to abide in the Father and the Son. And so it's kind of an exhortation here, you know, because you don't want to forfeit fellowship. And then verse 25, which is really a bad break in some of your Bibles. Verse 25, this is the promise which He Himself has made to us. Eternal life. Here's the promise. Eternal life. What is eternal life based on? What's he been saying the whole way? One thing. The truth. You've got to stick with it. The promise he made, eternal life, is put with the truth. You got to continue to confess. You got to continue to hold to it. You got to continue to go after it. You can't depart from that. And then he starts in 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Why is he writing? Folks, there's people wanting to deceive us. And John said it's no different in his day and time. I'm writing because there are people that once were of us, they're no longer of us. And they're trying to deceive you and tell you it's much bigger than what you ever even thought about. And John said, that's not true. Come over to the right to 2 John, the second letter, just two or three pages to your right. I want you to show you what John in his second letter writes. Two verses. Look at verse 7. 2 John, verse 7. He says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Boy, notice what he puts them together. The Antichrist, the deceiver, I mean, both of them are in the same category. Verse 8. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we've accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. You go paying attention to all this other stuff, you can lose it all. And he says, you watch it, that you don't lose. So you and I, same thing. You got to hold to the teachings. You've got to hold to the anointing that Jesus had from the beginning that taught us. And let's not deviate from that. Holding to it. Come back to 1 John 2. Look at verse 27. But as for you, the anointing which you received, there's that anointing again. Remember, it's tied to the truth. The anointing that you received from Him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. When you have the truth and you keep looking at the truth and you keep focusing on the truth, you let that truth be your teacher. You don't have to have other people coming in and saying, what about the lost books of the Bible? Don't you know there's lost books in here that we don't... We've got what we need. It's been here for many, many years. It hasn't changed. We just need to stay with it. And if you and I, he said, you don't need anyone to teach you. The anointing, the truth, will be what teaches you. And the more you keep paying attention to the Word of God, the more you keep paying attention to His truth, that will teach you about all things. You don't need further. You're not missing anything. It doesn't go beyond the realms of what the apostles taught that they got from Jesus. And I want you and I to know that. And John's defending it because there's many deceivers out there. And they're trying to tell you there's other ways. There is not. Jesus sent his apostles with the anointing, the truth. And they heard it, and they responded, and they stayed with it. Some left it. And Paul and John says, I just want you to know, they left us. They're not a part of us. But I want you to know you have the anointing. And you can hold to that and let that anointing abide with and in you. And then he concludes it. Verse 28. Now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. You know what abiding with Jesus, you know what abiding in those teachings that the apostles taught, you know what it gives you? Confidence. You know how many people are going to be shaking in fear when Jesus appears? Oh, we can't even count it. But if you want confidence, you're not going to shrink away because you love the truth. Because you've abide in the truth. Because you let the truth be the teaching and continue to teach you. And there will be no shame. Because, Lord, we held to your teachings. And that brings confidence. Verse 29. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of Him. How do you know? Well, if Jesus is righteous, and He is, then if I'm letting His anointing teach me, and I pray we do, then I'm going to be practicing the righteousness of Jesus. And if I'm going to practice His righteousness, that's the kicker. That you're born of God, you're born of Him, you are one of His children because you're practicing exactly everything the way He practices it. Stay with it. Truth matters. It always matters. And we need to let the truth to continue to be our teacher. So in the end, we can stand in confidence. So in the end, as we know He's righteous, we too are practicing His righteousness to His glory. May He ever be magnified in the way we live and what we practice.